I'd like to read in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, and read from verse 1. And Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, which is the ninth hour, and a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb was being carried, whom they placed every day at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who were going into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to enter into the temple, asked to receive alms. And Peter, looking steadfastly upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I have not, but what I have, this give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk." And having taken hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him, that it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. But as he held Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. And reading from verse 1. And when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sends two of his disciples and says to them, "Go into the village which is over against you, and immediately on entering into it, you will find a colt tied, upon which no child of man has ever sat. Loose it and lead it here. And if anyone say to you, 'Why do ye this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And straightway he sends it hither, and they departed, and found a colt bound to the door without at the crossway. And they loose him, and some of those who stood there said to them, 'What are you doing, loosing the colt?' And they said to them, 'As Jesus had commanded.' And they let them do it, and they led the colt to Jesus, cast their clothes upon it, and he sat on it. Many strewed their clothes on the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and went on strewing them on the way. And those going on before and those following cried out, 'Hosanna, blessed be he that comes in the Lord's name. Blessed be the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' And he entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and having looked round on all things, the hour being already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. In a city not too far away from here, a woman goes to a priest to see if she could get some comfort from her troubled spirit. And the priest looked at her and said, "My dear, what you need is some entertainment. I suggest you go to the concert in the city next Saturday and enjoy yourself." The woman went along, and when she got into this very busy annex, she was confused by the number of doors. And she wondered for a moment, and she said, "I think I'll go in this door." And she went in, instead of going into a place of entertainment, she found herself at a gospel preaching. And she was quickly ushered to a seat, and given a Bible. And what do you think the preacher was preaching about? Need. So need. She listened. And the more she listened, the more she realized that that word was for her. If only she knew Jesus. If only she had a link with Jesus. Might be somebody here tonight like that. But as the preacher spoke, the tears began to roll down her face, and the scripture made its impression into her soul, indelibly written by God, no doubt, until her sobs could be heard by all around. I must find Jesus. I hope that will be the cry of somebody here tonight. And as she went over in her mind her great need, the preacher came down. And she said to him, "Will you mark the scripture? Will you underline the scripture that you've preached about tonight?" He said, "I certainly will. And what's more, you take my Bible home with you, because you haven't got one." She took the Bible home, and that night she found that her need was met. Isn't that wonderful? She found that she'd come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her own personal Savior for time and for eternity. The burdens were lifted. Her heart was consoled. And she found the Lord Jesus for herself that night. Is that the end of the story? No. She said, "I must go back and tell the priest what I have found." And so one day she goes back in much trembling and knocks on the door, and she was ushered into his office. And she said, "Please, sir," she said, "I want to tell you that I was handed a Bible where I should have gone to a concert. I went in the wrong door. And I went into a gospel preaching. And the preacher was speaking about the great need of salvation." And she said, "What's more, I want to tell you," she said, "that I found the Lord Jesus as my Savior." The priest was in a rage. Snatched the Bible from her. Ushered her out onto the street and slammed the door. Her heart was distressed. And she wondered what she was going to do. But after quite a few weeks, she mustered up enough strength and energy to knock once more on the door of the priest. And it was opened by a nun. "Could I speak to the priest?" "The priest is dead," was the reply. "And what's more, he died cursing you." She went away sad, horrified that a priest who ought to have known the glad tidings had gone into eternity without Jesus. But not long afterwards, the nun came knocking at her door. And she said, "I have a very precious book to give you." And it was the book that was given her by the preacher. "And what I want to tell you is, first of all, I told you a lie. What I should have said was that the priest died blessing you, because he too had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And what's more, I picked up the Bible and I found the place that was written, underlined. And I too have come to know Jesus as my Savior as well." Now, dear friend, that was all because somebody had a sense of need. And I hope, as we look around on this little company tonight, that there might be somebody in that kind of state, longing for someone to do something for them. I want to tell you tonight that Jesus has done it. Jesus has met your need. He's given himself as a precious Saviour on Calvary's cross, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. And I want to tell you tonight that whatever your need, he can meet it now. You say, I feel wretched. I feel a sinner. I feel that I need a strength outside of myself to bring me peace and joy to my heart. Jesus can do it. And just like this man that we've read about, a man who was lame from his mother's womb was carried and placed every day at the gate. You couldn't think of anyone with a greater sense of need, could you? He was absolutely dependent upon others. And he was hoped that someone would carry him and take him to the place. You know, that's just like the gospel, isn't it? You have a sense of need. And you might say, well, I hope someone will take me to a gospel preaching where I can hear about Jesus. Is it like that with you tonight? That I might have the sense of joy and the forgiveness of my sins, that I might be healed from my lameness. So it says, whom they placed every day at the gate of the temple called Beautiful to ask alms of those who were going into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to enter into the temple, asked to receive alms. I suppose he was thinking that someone at least would give him something to meet his everyday needs. But what happened? Peter, looking steadfastly upon him with John, said, look on us. Now there were two men, you see, that had been with Jesus. They'd had the light and glory of another day in their hearts. And it says, and he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, silver and gold I have not. Think of that. Peter says in his epistle, ye have been redeemed not by silver and gold, but by precious blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. How we delight to speak of the excellency of the blood of Jesus. We sometimes used to sing when we're children, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And dear friend, this dear man here, Peter says, silver and gold I have not, but what I have, this give I to thee, in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk. Well, what a wonderful news to somebody in need, isn't it? What a message of hope and peace and glory, isn't it? Rise up and walk. Have you got faith enough tonight in your heart that as you accept the word of God without any doubt, you can receive the message today of hope and peace and blessing? And meet your every need tonight by the power of the redeeming blood of Jesus. Oh, thank God for the precious glory of the gospel. That it meets our need where we are. Yes. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise up and walk. The rejected Savior, who many cared not to know. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise up and walk. Would the Lord say that to somebody here tonight? In his grace and in the power of his love, to bring you to your real sense of need as a guilty sinner before a righteous God. Tonight, dear friend, I can point you to the atoning work of Jesus and say, that made my peace with God. You can say it too. As faith would operate in your heart, you may say to me, what is faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's God's power unto salvation to everyone that believes. Dear friend, if only you could believe tonight. Like that dear woman, I suppose every verse of Scripture was riveted by the Spirit of God in her soul. A receptive heart indeed, because of her need. You might say she'd probably tried all without relief, just like that dear woman, you know, taken with a flux of blood. She tried everything, been to many physicians, and tried everything to no avail. But that dear woman said within herself, "If only I should touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be healed." Dear friend, have you got power tonight in your soul to just say that from the depth of your heart? "If only I can come in contact with the Savior, I know that I shall be healed." And the woman came up and she touched him. And the Lord, turning round, said, "Someone has touched me." For he knew that power had gone out of him. And there was the woman, you know, trembling. What did he say? "Daughter, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." What a message of hope, isn't it? What a message of glory for the believer, that he comes to accept the wonderful work of redemption in the precious blood of Jesus. And you know, we can be like that tonight. If you're earnest, if you really want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're saying in your heart, "If I could only touch the hem of his garment, I know that I shall be saved or healed," will you come now? Come now. In this present wonderful opportunity of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's so precious. It's so wonderful. And like this dear man, having taken hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones were made strong. I love that. Power to walk. Yes, power to please the Savior, power to be here in testimony, because we read of him a little later, you know, holding on to Peter and John. And as we've been saying over the weekend, they took account of them that they were with Jesus. What a testimony. What a threefold cord, we might say, represented there. And what Jesus can do for that dear woman, what Jesus can do for this dear man, Jesus can do for you tonight. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? That he's able to save completely those that come unto him. And tonight, dear friend, is the golden opportunity. Perhaps the moment that God has been waiting for to bless you and to bring you into untold joy and happiness in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Took hold of him by the right hand. There's power in that. There's fellowship in that. I believe, you know, in effect, that this dear man came into all the joy and blessing of knowing Christ risen, Christ glorified, and to be here in testimony for his Lord and Savior. Leaping up, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. That's what the gospel is designed to do, isn't it? It's to fill your heart with joy and to be able to say what a wonderful Savior Jesus is. Can you say that tonight, beloved friend? What a wonderful Savior Jesus is. As we sit here tonight in the presence of God, may his words come into our hearts, perhaps as never before. You can go out tonight walking and leaping and praising God. You've been delivered from all the bondage of sin, all that held you once as away from God. And now like this dear man, he's walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him, that it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Do you think, you know, those around you will see the change? I'm sure they will. Do you think the radiancy on your face will be different? Do you think your feelings, you know, will be different? I've heard many say they feel like a bird let loose. Because one day they were down in the doldrums, full of the misery of sin and distances away from God. And then the wonderful stream of blessing came into their heart. And they knew Christ as their Savior. You might have listened to the preaching many times, of course. But perhaps tonight, the Lord will write indelibly in someone's heart that sense of need in your soul can be met now and forever. Dear friend, will you let Jesus into your heart? Will you let him in now? Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. Therefore, dear friend, as you feel your sense of need now, turn to the Lord Jesus. He's near you. We said in the reading today, he's not far from any one of us. In him we move and live and exist. You could put out your hands, as it were, now and find that the Saviour is very near. The one who, it says, they wondered at the words of grace which were coming out of his mouth. Never a man spake like this man. Dear friend, if only I could convey to you, in my measure, the love of the Saviour, your heart would be melted at once in the glory of the outshining love of my precious Saviour. Will you let him in? You have a sense of need. You have an empty void in your heart. The Lord wants to fill that void tonight. And he wants you. Did you know that? That's why I was encouraged to read from Mark 11. One side is man's need. But did you know that the Lord had a need as well? And did you know that the Lord wants you? Perhaps it's never dawned on you before, but the Lord has need of you. You know, I remember a dear servant of old saying, we fall short of the gospel if we only speak of man's need. The full gospel is that the Lord needs you. That's greater, isn't it? The Lord needs you. So, here we have this beautiful story here. They drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. He sends two of his disciples and says, go into the village which is over against you, and immediately on entering it, you will find a colt tied, upon which no child of man has ever sat. That's a picture, you know, of man in his unsubdued state. And you know, one thing that the gospel does, it subdues us. Man's will is very strong. But one day, you know, when the glorious stream of the gospel comes into our hearts, it subdues us, it subdues our will. I suppose the Apostle Paul had a will, because he said, no longer live I, but Christ lives in me. He was broken on that Damascus road. And the light of the glory shone into his heart. The colt, you see, is a picture of me. And whilst there may be restraint, it says, immediately on entering it, you will find a colt tied. Well, thank God for any measure of restraint there is. Thank God for Christian homes. Thank God where the truth is spoken about, where the Lord Jesus is loved, where your parents love the Lord Jesus. That's very precious. It's a great privilege to be in a Christian home. You might be tied in that sense. You know, we don't realize, I suppose, do we, how much evil we are preserved from. We do. We live in a wicked world. A world which is full of violence, drug addiction, evil men speaking evil things. Beloved friends, let us realize tonight how much we are preserved from through the power of the redeeming blood of Jesus. We were saying yesterday, do you value it enough? Is Christ everything to you and to me? Find a colt tied upon which no child of man has ever sat. Loose it and lead it here. And if anyone say to you, what do you this? Why do you do this? The Lord say, the Lord has need of it. Isn't that grand? The Lord has need of it. Loose it and lead it here. You know, that conveys to my mind a great deal of tenderness. One thing, you know, that marks Christianity is tenderness and love and affection. You know, I would count it a privilege tonight to be able to lead someone to Jesus. I think, you know, we'd all rejoice if somebody in this room tonight just came. I want to lead you to Jesus. The Lord has need of you. All you say, I've never heard that in the gospel before. Well, you're hearing it tonight, dear friend. And the blessed fact is that Jesus wants you. And so, if anyone say to you, why do ye this say, the Lord has need of it, and straightway he sends it hither. And they departed, and found a colt bound on the door without at the crossway, and they loose him. At the crossway, notice. Crossway is where there's signs, isn't there? You can go that way, you can go this way. I wonder which way you're going, dear friend. What would be the bent of your mind or heart? Would it be that you might be led to Jesus? That you might come to know him and trust him as somebody who's been met in their need and to realize that Jesus needs you? I think that's very precious. Someone in this room tonight, can I say to you, with all my heart, Jesus needs you. Do you know, I remember the day when the Lord said that to me. I need you. And he needs every lover of Christ. He draws us closer to himself. Maybe in a gospel preaching tonight, he'll draw you closer to himself. Do you find that he's very near? And some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing, loosing the colt? And they said to them as Jesus had commanded, and they let them do it. Oh, you see, everything is working now for blessing. They let them do it. If God is behind these exercises, well, no one can hinder it. Paul says, if God before us, who against us? Everything serves his might. And they led the colt to Jesus. You know, I find that beautiful. They led the colt to Jesus. They didn't force the colt to Jesus. They led it. And that's, I believe, what a disciple of the Lord would do. He'd lead you to Jesus. And what does it say? And they led the colt to Jesus and cast their clothes upon it And he sat on it. And he sat on it. That means to say, Christ has his rights over you. He's going to control you now. Ye are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Glorify then God in your body. And this is what the Lord wants to do in the gospel. He wants to direct you. He wants you led to him. And it says he sat upon it. As if to now, the believer owns every rights of the Lord in his supremacy and glory. And he wants even you and me to come under the wonderful touch of the Saviour tonight. Will you let him do it, dear friend? Will you let the Lord into your heart? You say, I want to do the things, I want to have my fling first, and then I'll come. Don't do that. You come now. We sometimes sing, if you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. And many have missed the wonderful, precious reality of the gospel because they were too late. Don't spurn the message, but realize tonight that in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're being led to Jesus. Oh, it's wonderful to get a realization into your soul tonight that Jesus needs you. And that's the blessed truth of the glad tidings. You see, he wants even me. I don't know very much. I'm not very prominent in this world. But Jesus says, I can make use of you. You can be in my kingdom. You can come under my sway. You can be a blessing to others if only you come now. So in this gospel, we would like to be ambassadors, therefore, for Christ. Be reconciled to God. Him who knew not sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Be reconciled. Where there was distance, now there's nearness. Isn't that grand? The distance has been removed in the death of Jesus. And God draws near to bless the sinner because he's felt his need. But greater still, the Lord has need of you. That's my message, dear friend. It says, many strewed their clothes on the way and others cut down branches from the trees. And those going before, following, cried, Hosanna. Think of yet, you know, in the millennial glory of how Christ will be vindicated and glorified. But even now, you see, we can have our part in giving glory to divine persons. We can give glory to the Saviour for all his glorious and finished work. But now, I presented you feebly, I know, our need and the Lord's need. And the great thing is now, what are you going to do? You know, many hear the gospel, go away, and do nothing about it. I believe, you know, the Lord wants you to do something about it tonight. And if the Lord has met your need, then you think of his need. He wants you. He wants you to be a testimony. He wants you to be a shining light in this world of darkness. He wants you to bring happiness to others. Will you do it? Will you let the Lord in? Even now as we speak, let your heart turn to him as a Savior God. Not my will, but thine be done, was the words of my Savior. It can be the words tonight of every one of us that Christ might be the unmingled object of the heart. Christ, everything and in all. May it be the portion, therefore, that as our need is met in the blood of Jesus, the Lord's need is met in you coming forward even now and saying, I want to be for the Lord in the scene of his rejection. I want to remember him where he's been denied. I want to know something of the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. I want the untold joys that the Spirit of God gives to the believer. All this, dear friend, is for you. The Lord has need of you. May be that you'll come tonight for his name's sake.